We're glad to bring you this message from Love Worth Finding Ministries with Adrian Rogers. We trust you'll be blessed as you apply these biblical truths to your daily life.
Let me say that the stage is set and the curtain is about to be drawn back on the drama of the ages. Things are getting ready to unfold, and we are living, I believe, in the beginning of the end, and we dare not be ignorant. There are three tremendous truths in the Scriptures that we have for us today, and let's begin now in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come. I love that phrase. When He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Now, these verses deal with the first of these three tremendous truths. And here's the first of these three tremendous truths in the light of the soon coming of our Lord. Are you ready? Truth number one, you need not be disturbed. You need not be disturbed. Now, if you're troubled with all of the things that are happening in the world today, look in verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. Friend, nothing has gotten out of control. You don't have to go around with headline hysteria. It's exactly precisely as God said it would be. And all of history is fitting into the sockets of prophecy. You know, there are three categories of people in the world today. There are those who are afraid. There are those who don't know enough to be afraid. And there are those who know their Bibles. Amen. You who are troubled, rest with us. You need not be disturbed. Why? Because our Lord is on His way. Look, if you will, in verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. Now, who is coming? Who is coming? When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed. That's why I like that song. He's still Lord of all. He was Lord then. He will be Lord when He comes again. And actually, this verse says, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed, what it literally means is when He's going to be unveiled. The word revelation here is the same word, apocalypse. When there's coming an apocalypse, that means an unveiling. You see, today His glory, His majesty is veiled, and today He is hated and despised and ridiculed and cursed and made the butt of jokes. People will see Him one day as who He is. Amen. The Lord Jesus, the one who was kicked and cursed and spat upon and beat and ridiculed and misjudged, He is coming, and He will still be Lord of Lords. His glory will be revealed. That's who is coming. Some people try to explain away the second coming of Jesus. They say, well, the second coming of Jesus is some event in history. I know a false cult that teaches that. Other people teach that the second coming of Jesus is when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. Thank God He did, but that's not the second coming of Jesus. Some teach that the second coming of Jesus is when we die and then we go to heaven. And they call that the second coming of Jesus. But the Bible says the Lord Himself, the Lord Jesus, shall be revealed in flaming fire. Acts chapter 1 verse 11, that angel said, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you, shall so come in like manner as ye saw Him go into heaven. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the same Jesus who came the first time, is coming literally, actually, visibly, bodily, back to this earth. This same Jesus. That's the who of His coming. And look at verse 7 again, at the when of His coming. And to you who are troubled, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed. Not if, when. It's certain. As a matter of fact, Malachi, the last Old Testament book, says that Jesus' coming is like the sunrise. To those who fear His name, the Bible says, then shall the Son of righteousness arise with healing in His wings. I like the fact that His coming is like the sunrise, because I'll tell you two things about the sunrise. You can't hurry it up, and you can't stop it. It's coming. The sunrise comes on time, and Jesus is the Son of righteousness, and He is coming. He came the first time on time. The Bible says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. Isn't that right? In the fullness of time. And He's coming the second time in the fullness of time. He'll not be 1 millisecond ahead of time. He'll not be 1 millisecond left. Everything is on schedule. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found. I have an idea that His coming is very, very near. But it speaks of the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One of these days, the Lord Jesus is going to step from heaven, pull back the shades of darkness, pin them with a star, open the door of the morning, and flood the world with the sunshine of His second coming. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Jesus is going to come. And then the wonder of His coming. Look, if you will, in verse 10. I love this. When He shall come to be glorified in His saints. Now watch this. And to be admired in all them that believe. I love that. You know, this word admired, it literally means to be wondered at. We will be dazzled when we see Him. You think you understand what it's going to be like? Friend, you don't have one scintilla of an iota of what it will be like when Jesus comes. Oh, how we will admire the Lord Jesus Christ. And what will we admire the Lord Jesus Christ for? Well, when He comes, we're going to be made like Him. And we will admire Him. We will wonder at His transforming love. You think of those of us who were stubborn and unbelieving, were reached by His grace. Think of those who were demonized by drugs and alcohol and pride and lust. Think of those who were ignorant and blind and stumbling in darkness. And now we are made like the Lord Jesus. Is He perfect? So will we be. Is He prophet, priest, and king? So will we be. We will be like the Lord Jesus. And as we look at what He has done for us, at that redeemed multitude, how we will admire the Lord Jesus and how we will wonder at the Lord Jesus. We'll wonder not only at His transforming love, oh, but we will wonder at His amazing grace, because the Bible says in verse 10, He's coming, look at it, to be admired in all them that believe. Well, Adrian, you mean you don't get in the rapture by doing good works or by being baptized or by giving your money? No, just by believing in Jesus. That, friend, is amazing grace. The Bible says it clearly, plainly, sweetly, surely, sublimely. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Who's going to admire the Lord Jesus when He comes again? Who's going to be transformed? Them that believe. We will admire Him for His transforming love. We will admire Him for His saving grace. And I'll tell you what else we'll admire Him for. For His keeping power. Look at that verse 10 again. It says, and all them that believe, not one of them will be lost. Not one of them will be lost. Everyone. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will never, no, never desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. Everybody who puts his faith in Jesus is going to be in the rapture. Thank God for that. No wonder we will admire Him for His transforming love, for His amazing grace, for His steadfast power. You see, this verse speaks of the who of His coming, the when of His coming, the wonder of His coming. And then it speaks of the witness of His coming. Look again in verse 10. When He shall come to be glorified in His saints, and to be admired in all them that believe. Why? Look at it. Why? Because our testimony among you was believed in that day. There was somebody who had been witnessing about His coming. There's somebody who had been giving a testimony about Jesus coming again. Friend, when Jesus comes, don't you want to be like the Apostle Paul and have some people going to be in that crowd going up? Paul says, you're going to be there. Why? Why did you believe? Because you believed our testimony. We preached the gospel to you. We told you about Jesus. Now, folks, I'm looking forward to Jesus coming, but I don't want to go by myself. I want to take a crowd with me, don't you? The Apostle Paul took a crowd with him. He said, my testimony was believed about you. Let me tell you something, folks. When you see somebody that you have won to Jesus Christ, with Jesus Christ at the rapture, how you'll bless God that you were a soul winner. You know, you see a little guy, a little dirty-faced boy, he may be insignificant to you. Or maybe you sit by a little lady on a bus. Maybe she's faded and bedraggled and old, poor, insignificant. Or maybe you see a laborer over here breaking his back in the hot sun, digging a ditch, uneducated perhaps, living from hand to mouth. You say, well, you know, that's not one of the high and mighty. Let me tell you something, folks. Bring them to Jesus and wait till you see them shining as a jewel in His crown. Wait till you see what His redeeming love and grace, see them sitting with the saints of all of the ages when Jesus comes and they're transformed and made into His likeness. And if you believe what I'm preaching about Jesus coming again, you're going to get your head out of the clouds of prophecy and on the pavement of soul winning, bringing souls to Jesus. The real proof that you believe what I'm preaching is not, do you get it in your notebook, but do you get it in your heart, and what are you doing to warn men to flee from the wrath to come? Now, what he is saying is, look, you who are troubled, rest with us. Jesus is coming. You need not be disturbed, okay? Don't let Satan blow you away as with all of his boisterous talk and all of his accusations and all of this. Friend, we are on the winning side. Now, here's the second thing I want you to see. I said there are three tremendous truths. Truth number one, Jesus is coming. You need not be disturbed. And you who are troubled, rest with us. Jesus is coming. Here's the second truth. Get ready for it. Jesus is coming. You should not be deceived. Now, continue to read. Look in chapter 2. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that's the rapture, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, that is, you need not be disturbed, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. You need not be disturbed. You should not be deceived. Now, as we get closer to the second coming of Jesus Christ, there are going to be a lot of quacks and fakes and charlatans and false cults and all kinds of things are taught. And many of them will be taught as coming from God. As a matter of fact, a devilish deception had taken place there in Thessalonica. Somebody had written a forged letter, had signed the Apostle Paul's name to it. That's what he says. He says, don't be deceived as though some letter had come from us, by word or letter as from us. Paul said, I didn't write that letter. It's a forgery. Somebody had written a letter, and you know what the letter said? The letter said, the day of the Lord is at hand. What that meant is, we're in the great tribulation. The rapture has taken place and you have missed it. And they were all troubled. They were all shaken. They were all distorted. They were all deceived. Many of them were. And Paul said, you need not be disturbed and don't be deceived. I didn't write that letter. Now, folks, in the last days, many false prophets are going to come. You understand that, don't you? And they're going to be speaking lies and hypocrisy. That's all the more reason we need to open the book and read it. We need to understand what God says, black print on white paper, interpreted by the Holy Spirit into our hearts so that we can be ready for the Lord Jesus Christ when He comes. Now, Paul begins to explain, therefore, what will happen in the days that are going to follow, and I want you to follow along with him under the heading now, "We Need Not Be Deceived." What he is saying is that there is coming a time after the rapture when Satan will fling his one final insult into the face of God. And the agent of this blasphemy will be the Antichrist. This Antichrist, as we're going to see in the passage that we're going to read in just a moment, is called the Man of Sin. The Man of Sin. Our trouble began with the sin of man. It will climax with the man of sin. This man will be the quintessence, the epitome, the distillation of all evil. Evil will be in this man so much that he is called the Man of Sin. He will be the devil's Messiah. He will be to the devil as Jesus is to God the Father. When the Lord Jesus was here on earth, the Lord Jesus said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." This man of sin will be able to say, "He who hath seen me hath seen my Father." But his Father is Satan himself. He is the son of perdition. He is called the Man of Sin. Let's read about it here in this scripture. Verse 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first." The word "falling away" is a translation of the Greek word apostasy. There will come an apostasy. And that man of sin, not a man of sin, that man of sin, a specified person, that man of sin be revealed. The son of perdition. The word "perdition" means judgment. He is headed for judgment. I looked up this phrase, "man of sin," in different translations. One gives it the man of lawlessness. Another gives it as the incarnation of wickedness. Another gives it the champion of wickedness. Another translation, wickedness in human form. This is the man of sin. Again, the Bible calls him the beast. In Revelation chapter 13, he is called the beast. But now he's called, in this chapter, the Apostle Paul calls him the man of sin. The Apostle John calls him the beast, and he calls him the Antichrist. Now, the prefix anti, A-N-T-I, means two things at the same time. Anti means against, but it also means instead of. And so who is this man? Here is this man who is coming, who is against Christ. But how is he against Christ? He is against Christ by coming instead of Christ. He is the devil's Messiah. He is the counterfeit Christ. Jesus said, "I've come in my Father's name and you didn't receive me." But he said, "If another will come in his own name, him you will receive." And this Antichrist is coming. This beast of a man is coming. And he's going to be revealed. Notice in verse 3, it says he's going to be revealed. That means he's going to be unveiled, just like the Lord Jesus in his time is going to be unveiled. The Antichrist is going to be revealed. He's going to be unveiled. That means if the rapture were to come today, that the Antichrist would be alive on the earth today, waiting to be revealed, waiting to have his disguise ripped away. And he comes as he is. He may be alive and well and on planet earth today. And while we are waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, there's something very ugly working in our world. And that thing that is working in our world is called the mystery of iniquity. Look, if you will, in verse 6. "And you know what withholdeth," underscore the word "what." "And you know what withholdeth that he," the Antichrist, the beast, the son of perdition, "might be revealed in his time," underscore "in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Underscore he. And for the word let, if you're using the King James, just write in here, restrains. Now, what's he saying? He's saying that there's something evil, vile, a conspiracy against the sons and daughters of men. It's called the mystery of iniquity. There's an evil, dark, demonic, devilish force that is working in the world today. And as you read the newspapers, as you see the entertainment, as you listen to the philosophies of this world, there is an ungodly force. The Bible calls it the mystery of iniquity. And it was working in Paul's day. And he says it doth already work. But he says there's something that is holding it back. There's something that restrains, he says, and you know what restrains. And he who lets or restrains will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, Satan can go only so far. We read in the book of Job that Satan has a leash on him. He can only go so far, and God will not let him go any further. Because there is a restraining force that is holding back something that the Bible calls the mystery of iniquity. And there is a restraint. Satan is on a leash. But when the church is taken out, then all hell will break loose. Hell will have a holiday. Now, notice I said, underscore the phrase what and underscore the phrase he. What is taken out? What stands aside? The church. At the rapture, he started out this passage. He said, our gathering together unto him, we are going to be gathered unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to be taken out of this earth. That is the what? The church. And the he is the Holy Spirit who indwells the church. The what? The church. The he? The Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit has a twofold ministry. One, to help the saints. Number two, to hinder Satan. But the helper who is in us, and the hinderer who through us is holding back the power of Satan, will one day be taken out of this world. Now, let me tell you something about Bible-believing Christians who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looked down upon, we're minimalized, we're spit upon, we're scorned, we're called fundamentalists, too much fun, too much damn, and not enough mental. They love to mock at us and so forth. Well, one of these days, we'll be gone. They won't have to bother with us. I mean, right now, we are a boulder in Satan's superhighway. But we'll be gone. The restraint will be taken out of the way. The leash will be taken off of Satan. Do you know what the church is? The church is salt and light. Now, what does salt do? Salt cleanses. Salt decontaminates. Salt preserves. When the salt of this earth is taken out of this earth, you will see rottenness and decay and filth and stench like you have never seen before, because all restraint will be gone. And when the light is taken out, then unmitigated Stygian darkness will come. And rather than light and truth, you will have darkness and error that will encircle the globe when we're gathered together to meet the Lord Jesus in the air. And the restraint will be taken away from the mystery of iniquity. And when the restraint is taken away from the mystery of iniquity, you might as well try to dam up Niagara Falls with toothpicks as to stop the flood tide of lawlessness, as this man of sin, this wicked one, will come to rule here upon the earth. He will be an intellectual genius. He will have overpowering authority. His hatreds will be extraordinary, but his techniques will be superb. And Satan's master plan is tied up with Satan's master man. He will be the Hitlers, the Alexanders, the Greats, the Napoleons, the Stalins, the Saddam Husseins, all rolled into one, Satan's Superman. He will come with a rule of reward and torture. And He will turn this world into a vast concentration camp with all of the inmates numbered. Now, what is Paul telling this church? Jesus is coming. You need not be disturbed. But Jesus is coming. You must not be deceived, because He's going to deceive those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in verses 9 and 10. Even him, the wicked one, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. You say, well, if I'm not saved, I won't believe the Antichrist. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. He'll make you think that up is down, good is bad, light is dark. He'll make you betray your own mother. Men would die for him. Women will swoon at his feet. Little children will speak his name with reverence. He's coming with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. What am I saying, folks? Listen, Jesus is coming. You need not be disturbed. Jesus is coming. You should not be deceived. Okay? Here's the third thing. Jesus is coming. You will not be disappointed. You will not be disappointed. Look, if you will, in verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth and destroy with the brightness of His coming. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is going to destroy this Antichrist. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to consume him with the spirit of His mouth, that is, with His Word. This speaks of the battle of Armageddon, when heaven is opened and the saints come, this time with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, out of Jesus' mouth will go a sharp two-edged sword, and with it He'll smite the nations. With the spirit of His mouth, with His Word, the battle will be won. Here comes Antichrist with all of his militia, with all of his forces at the battle of Armageddon, finally coming against God's ancient people, the Jews, to destroy and decimate Jerusalem and to take over. And then shall that wicked be consumed by the spirit of His mouth. The Lord Jesus will say, drop dead. And the battle will be over. With the spirit of His mouth, this speaks of His coming in glory. You see, the second coming of Jesus is in two phases. First of all, He comes secretly for the church. That's the rapture. Then He comes sovereignly to rule and to reign. That's the revelation. First, He comes to take away His bride as the bridegroom. Then He comes back with His bride as King of kings and Lord of lords to rule and to reign forever. And this verse speaks of that day when Jesus shall come. The first time He came as the lowly Nazarene, when He comes again, He's coming as King of kings and Lord of lords. When He came the first time, He stood before Pilate. When He comes again, Pilate will stand before Him. When He comes the first time, they nail Him to a tree. When He comes again, He will sit upon a throne, and the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as waters that cover the sea. And the saints of God can hardly wait for Jesus to come again. And if you're not excited about Jesus Christ coming again, if your heart does not say, even so, come, Lord Jesus, I believe that you're too much in love with this world and not enough in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. I hear thundering hoofbeats, the horses, and the great tribulation are on the horizon. Perilous days are coming. But folks, we're waiting on Jesus. We're not looking for any signs. We're listening for a shout. Many of us may not die. We're not looking for the undertaker. We're looking for the uppertaker. I mean, He'll come in a moment. You say, well, Pastor, I don't think He's coming today. Oh, you don't? Well, the Bible says, in such an hour as you think not, a Son of Man comes. He's coming as a thief in the night. Has a thief ever written you a letter and saying, I'm coming tonight? No, friend. Suddenly, surely, swiftly, the trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which remain and are alive shall be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Jesus is coming. Don't be disturbed. Jesus is coming. Don't be deceived. Jesus is coming. You will not be disappointed if you put your faith in Him. You'll be in that crowd that admires the Lord Jesus. Now, what does that mean to us? There's the intercession factor. We need to be praying, interceding for our world and for the lost. There's the soul winning factor. We need to be getting our sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, neighbors and associates into the ark of safety before the floods of the tribulation break upon this world. I'll tell you what else there is. There's the instruction factor. Did you know that we need to be getting our children ready and giving them an understanding of what is coming to this world? Many of them are stumbling in darkness. They don't know. We have the Word of God. The Bible says we are not in darkness, that that day should overtake us as a thief. And last of all, there is the comfort factor. Don't be soon shaken, troubled. Rest with us. He cannot fail. He must prevail. What a mighty God we serve.
Do you know the Jesus Adrian Rogers spoke about? You can know abundant, eternal life through Jesus Christ right now. Say yes to Jesus. Ask Him to save you. Fully trust in Christ today. You might pray something like this: Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and my sin deserves judgment. But You died to pay the penalty for my sin. So I repent of those sins now, Lord. I ask You to forgive me. Come into my life. Make me a new person in You. Thank You for saving me, Jesus. And help me to live for You from now on. Amen. And today, if you give your life to Christ, you'll want to learn how to walk with Him each day. We want to help you with materials that will encourage and strengthen you as a new believer. Just write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. In Canada, you can write us at P.O. Box 152, Maple Ridge, B.C., V2X7G1. And if you have more questions about what it means to begin a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, visit our website, lwf.org. Click on the Discover Jesus link on our homepage for more information. If you'd like additional copies of this message or information about other resources, just visit our online bookstore or call 1-800-274-5683. Thank you, and may God richly bless you.